The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now after he washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We began our Lenten journey here in this place on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, with the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And tonight, we return to the dust, actually. We return to those places on our bodies that collect dust, our feet. And we find Jesus tonight there at the feet of his disciples, there in the dust, getting his hands dirty. "Remember, you are dust." To some of us, that sounds kind of threatening. "Remember, you are dust." We all know what that means. It's not a euphemism. We all have an expiration date. Do I have to spell it out some more? We're all going to die. Maybe tomorrow, maybe 100 years from now. I hope 100 years from now. But we all will pass. And the tension that is really at the heart of tonight's gospel is, what do we do with the time between now and then? And I think that Jesus lays out a beautiful blueprint for the time between now and the dust. I have a very close friend who, a number of years ago, noticed that his mother was starting to become just kind of more than her usual forgetful self, right? She was She was always just a little bit forgetful, but then one day she came home with a pile of groceries, left them on the table, and forgot to put them away. So most of the food went bad for hours. And so things like this kind of happened. And finally he said, you know, I think it's time to take mom to the doctor. And they were really all they had in the world for one another. Dad had passed away. Grandparents had passed away. No brothers or sisters. Aunts and uncles kind of faded off in the distance. And he said he'll never forget that day in the doctor's office, because the thing that he worst feared was the doctor came back and gave the diagnosis that indeed she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and that it was a particularly aggressive form. And so the time felt pretty short. And he said it felt like a death sentence. It felt like they looked at each other when the doctor left, and they both said, we thought we had more time together. This is the tension in today's gospel. Life under an inevitable death sentence. And notice this is actually where our gospel starts tonight. It starts with the recognition of Jesus knowing that his time had come, knowing that he was to be given into the hands of those who would betray him. I don't know about you, but if I knew that I was going to be betrayed, I'd probably skip town. I wouldn't stick around and wash people's feet. If I had 24, 48 hours left, I would not spend 1 hour on my knees washing feet. And yet, going to the dust, Jesus goes to the dust. Jesus goes to the feet of his disciples, as if to tell them, there is no strength in this place. All the fear that we have in entering into one another's vulnerabilities, entering into one another's cracked feet, the dusty places, there is no sting in those places. Be free of that. Many of us make things like bucket lists, right? Those places we're going to go to, restaurants or to countries or places or airplanes we're going to jump out of. And Jesus goes to the dust. And so my friend, he said his first few months with his mom's diagnosis, and like I said, things progressed really, really too quickly. The first few months were spent just bitterly for him, very much angry. And he said he was angry with his mom all the time. Not just angry at the situation, he was angry at God, he was angry at the situation, but he said, I couldn't just let it go, right? She would, first it was putting the groceries on the table and not putting them away. And then it was not turning the stove off. And then it was forgetting to eat. And he said, I just got so angry with her. It was breaking my heart. And she would say these things like, oh, we have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And he would say, no, we don't, Mom. That's not what we have. We had our doctor's appointment yesterday. Can't you remember? And he just continued in this way, arguing with her about reality, because she was wrong. She was forgetful. Until one day, I'm not sure who he talked to, but somebody much wiser than me or him, and the person said, you know, maybe instead of arguing with your mom, maybe instead of denying the reality that she has, maybe instead of denying the dust on her feet, maybe you need to just go there and be where she is. And so the next day, he took over. His usual routine was to come home from work, take over for the caretakers, and to get his mom headed in the right direction. And so, of course, she said, we have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And he said, no. Sure. Why not? Yes, we have a doctor's appointment. What's it going to hurt? Yeah, we have a doctor's appointment. And then later that evening, she was in a particular mood, and I don't know if it was the meds or what, but she said, oh my gosh, there are elephants in the room. And he said, elephants? And she said, yeah. And he said, what color are they? Tell me about them. And she said, oh, they're brown with white, beautiful tusks, like the ones we used to see at the zoo when you were a kid. And he said, oh, okay, Great, yeah, I see them too. What are they doing, Mom? And she said, oh, they're dancing. And he said, they're dancing. Oh, wow, what kind of dance? And she said, swing dancing, like I used to do with your father. He said, oh, wonderful. This is the vulnerability to which we are called here on Maundy Thursday. This kind of love. This kind of love that gets on its knees and says, yes, I will enter into the reality of your dustiness. Not the one that I hold for myself, but I will get on my knees. And Jesus says tonight, love, if you're going to dust you shall return. In the meantime, here's a blueprint. Love one another. Amen.